and they lived happily ever after. What a great way to end a fairy tale. We all remember those wonderful stories that were a part of our childhood. They offered us places to escape the trials and the uncertainties that are a part of our everyday lives. Fairy tales always end up with both the bad and the good getting exactly what they deserved, and where the beautiful people ended up getting married and living happily ever after. It's always that way with fairy tales. After we've lived through the trials of releasing Rapunzel from her tower, after we've waited with bated breath while the prince tries the glass slipper on Cinderella's dainty little foot, and after we've made that face watching the princess kiss that ugly frog and stood relieved when he turned into a handsome prince, after we've waved them all on their way, we know that they will live happily ever after. And when we've done all that, we return to our world, knowing that it is not the way of the real world. Jesus didn't talk about living happily ever after. Jesus talked instead about seeking maturity, about becoming responsible citizens of God's kingdom, and about turning sorrow into joy. Think for a moment what Jesus did say in today's lesson. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Sounds hard, doesn't it? The denial of the very center of our own personal worlds, removing ourselves from the center of our own concern, that's not easy. And picking up a cross every day, I think we have some idea what a cross was and what it meant. That's a lot to ask of us. And to follow Jesus, to track his weary footsteps up and down the land, who can do such a thing? But that's what he puts before us as a goal. Not happiness. But if we really think for a moment about what Jesus meant, maybe he knew how to find what we call happiness after all. I mean, think first about that matter of self-denial. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Now, I think that the self-denial is asked in order that we can give ourselves to something greater. The idea speaks of relationship. We cease centering upon ourselves so that we're freed to center upon our relationships. Our relationship with God and our relationship with other people. In another place in the gospel, Jesus pointed to the sign by which his followers would be known. It was by their relationship. It was by their love for one another. You see, you deny yourself in order that you may focus on your relationship with another. That's why I have a difficult time with those whose goal is to just do their own thing. I believe we were created for a relationship, and that our real fulfillment comes when we have developed a unity with others. I think these days we make a mistake when we fail to recognize that who we are really depends on our relationships. Because no one really exists apart from other people for very long. Of course, we have to have self-knowledge and self-understanding. We need to know ourselves before we can live productively in relationship. But unless we finally achieve self-knowledge and then go on to the relationships, we've failed to complete that human equation. Listen to a moment to the words of Lloyd Probst that I heard many years ago. He writes, "I have some great friends, and my relationship to them is very simple. When I have something to share or to give them, if you please, I go to them and I share it. When there's a need in my life or heart, I go to them unashamed and ask for the help I need. In doing both, I remain their equal in that intimacy of souls called friendship. Always it is the integration of giving and receiving that makes a relationship worthy with Christ and with each other. I think that's what Jesus meant when he spoke of denying yourself. Denying yourself that you might enter more fully into that intimacy of soul that marks our fullest expression of discipleship. There's more to Jesus' direction. And this is more difficult, to be sure. It's when he adds that take up your cross daily. I mean, we know about crosses. We've read about Jesus on Golgotha and the two thieves there with him. A cross is hard and painful and difficult. Here again, I don't think Jesus was speaking to us about martyrdom. I think he was talking about meeting the daily trials of living in this world. A world admittedly spiked with crosses and punctuated with crucifixions. Can anyone really live happily ever after in that sort of a world? Picking up your cross daily does not imply living a calm and placid existence. But I wonder if that sort of a bland life would be fulfilling. Very often we think that we would like to live without care or responsibility. We'd be happy if we knew from day to day that little was going to happen to unsettle us. And often we think about the difficulties. Yes, the tragedies too. We think that we would really be better off insulated from such things. Charlie Brown gives voice to that feeling. He and Linus are leaning on a stone wall talking together, and Linus says, "Sometimes I feel that life has just passed me by." Do you ever feel that way, Charlie Brown? And Charlie Brown answers, "No. I feel it has knocked me down and walked all over me." I guess the reason that we enjoy those Peanuts cartoons was because we all identify in one way or another with Charlie Brown. And yet, life without zest, life without the adventure that comes with meeting its trials, even carrying its crosses would be very likely boring us all to death. Pascal makes the observation. He says, "Nothing is so insufferable to man as to be completely at rest. Without passions, without business, without diversion, without study. Then he feels his nothingness, his forlornness, his insufficiency, his dependence, his weakness, his emptiness. There will immediately arise from the depth of his heart weariness and gloom and sadness and fretfulness and despair." What I'm trying to say is that there is something worse than dealing with the trials and obstacles and tragedies. There's something worse than picking up your daily crosses and bearing them. It's no longer having any crosses to pick up. And I think Jesus knew that. To live fully does not mean being happy all the time. It means dealing with life. Its low points as well as its high points. It means bearing some crosses each day, but that's a part of the adventure of living. I think it's interesting to note that for many of us, if life is getting a little bland, we seek out adventure. Even danger. We do it by climbing mountains or skiing down them, by diving into the depths of the sea, or by soaring in a hang glider or a balloon. Or by testing our survival skills in the wilderness. In 100 different ways, we risk and we flirt with danger. It's because we were made for adventure, to face obstacles that test our physical and mental and emotional capabilities. It's because the blandness of life without passion and risk is intolerable. Jesus said, face the risks, challenge the obstacles, and meet even the tragedies. Pick up your cross each day. That's the way to find fulfillment in life. And Jesus gave what final direction to his disciples. He said, deny yourself, pick up your cross daily, and follow me. When all has been said about bearing life's crosses, we must surely admit that it's not easy. But Jesus offered us a way of coping. He said, come with me. And I really think that he meant that better than anyone else. He knew that the reality of life's crosses and crucifixions were a part of our lives. He knew, too, that they are not easily borne alone. And so he said, come with me. In another context, he spoke really in the same vein. He said, take my yoke upon you, and you will find rest. Now, that sounds like a contradiction until you think about what a yoke is. It's a device that links two animals together so that their combined strength, they can pull a load. It's a device for sharing a burden. And in that sense, you see, Jesus is not simply saying, submit yourself to the burden of the yoke. He's inviting us to join him. And therefore, I share with him our daily burdens. I think the same thing is implied in the passage we've been focusing on this morning. His invitation to follow him includes his willingness to share those daily crosses that we carry. In this fellowship, which we call the church, we're here to share each other's crosses. There is no need, you see, to bear those crosses alone. We're called to be Christ's presence for each other. It's not simply a matter of being directed to meet life's trials. Jesus also offers us a way to cope with them. You know, life isn't a fairy tale. To try and live as if it were is to be unprepared for those difficult times that inevitably come to us. After all, Jesus didn't say, go and live happily ever after. What he says was, deny yourself. Because when you do, you will find the scope of your life infinitely broader. Pick up your cross daily, because if you do, you will know the adventure of meeting life's challenges. And then come with me. And walk with me. And while we may not live happily ever after, we surely will find adventure. Let us pray. Dear God of all creation, come and help us to feel your presence among us. Give us your guidance as we worship this day, so that we might hear your word and have understanding. We ask for your vision so that we may see the world through your eyes. Disturb us, Lord, when we're too pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we dreamed too little. Disturb us when with the abundance of the things we possess, we've lost our thirst for the waters of life and cease to dream of eternity. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wider seas. We're losing sight of land, we shall find stars. Dear God, we ask that you push back the horizons of our hopes guide us into the future in strength and courage and hope and love. We offer our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.